several overtimes and you can grow them. But the passion is what's going to allow you each day to sort of grow.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely.
Welcome back, everyone, to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. As you hear Miss Katy Perry encouraging everyone, especially the ladies, to roar. I'm loving it. Especially as I get a chance to speak with the great and the awesome Miss Jennifer Palmieri. She served as White House Communications Director for President Barack Obama, Press Secretary for President Bill Clinton, Director of Communications for Hillary Clinton during her 2016 presidential campaign. Jennifer Palmieri, hello, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be with you. Thanks for having me, Carl.
It is truly my pleasure. And I tell you what, I am fascinated by you and your mission. Jennifer, if you would, please tell us more about Jennifer Palmieri, particularly with regards to what really motivates you, what has motivated you throughout your life, and along with that, what got you started on this mission that you're currently on.
So I grew up in a Navy family, so this notion of that, and we always felt really privileged that that my dad was able to serve in the Navy, and they, you know, that gave him a great college degree and a great career, and I had always been brought up the sense that you can do good, and that's a privilege, and I always knew I wanted to work somewhere in public service, and just loved the notion of people coming together, making decisions about how they wanted their country to be, and acting on it. That's how I saw public service. That's how I saw politics. I always knew from age 8 that that's what I wanted to be involved in. And then I had a very good luck, which was, I happened to live in Leon Panetta's congressional district in California. My family ended up in California when my dad retired from the Navy, and he was my congressman. And I interned for him when I was in college and started working for him then. And he's just a remarkable public servant who went on to become Bill Clinton's budget director, Bill Clinton's chief of staff, and President Obama's CIA director, President Obama's Secretary of Defense. And I really learned, and I was able to go with him to the Clinton White House, and that's how I started on a White House career. And I really learned from him the value of listening to people, the value of, keeping everybody. He's like, you want people inside the tent, you don't want them, you don't want them outside. That a diversity of opinion was a good thing, and that, you know, it was democracy was hard and messy, but including everyone on the front end meant better decisions on the back end. And that was an important lesson for me. I certainly saw that repeated in working with President Clinton and President Obama as well. And after I worked for Hillary, we had the devastating loss that we did, I felt that I still, as devastating as the loss was, I felt optimistic when I saw the way women reacted to that loss. And, you know, your first thought was the Women's March, and that I think women decided either I can believe, if you didn't support Trump, either I can believe that people, you know, that Donald Trump was meant to win. That's who wins in America. Wow, what that proves, that confirms in my head the doubts that I've had that maybe things are just a little off and we are playing by an outdated set of rules, and I'm going to start engaging in this world in a different way. And I know that we deserve better than this, and it's on me to make that happen. And I wanted to write a book for this time that was sort of a field guide for women, young girls too, that feel that way, and you know what I've learned watching Hillary try to succeed, and what I've learned in my own career, and you know, hope that that inspires other women to engage in the world differently.
And that's an excellent point, engaging in the world differently, and particularly on the leadership levels. How do you see Jennifer, ladies, women responding, and even teenage girls responding to the outcome of the 2016 election. Do you see that women are more fired up? Are they disillusioned and deciding, well, it's just not worth it? What seems to be the overriding response?
The overriding response seems to be feeling empowered, which is amazing, because after we lost, that I had two big thoughts, you know, fears. A, what are women going to think? And what are little girls going to think?
Yes.
Because there's nothing more confident in the world than a 9-year-old girl, right? They're just full of confidence and joy, right?
Yes.
And there were so many of them that would, you know, people would talk about how young women weren't excited about Hillary, right? Like young, you know,
yes.
You know, women in their 20s or, and you know, what was that about? But little girls were, and I think it's because little girls would bring that there's a placemat that exists in the world. A lot of families have it that are just for kids. And it has portraits of all 44 presidents on it. And the little girls would bring it to our events and they show it to Hillary and they are outraged. They are like, where is the girl president? Like, where is she?
Interesting.
And you know, when you're a little kid, you're very aware of like, who, you know, what girls do and what boys do and who's better at what. But the girls have so much confidence then. And, you know, and I was like, oh, God, I don't want those little girls to be so devastated that it happened again and this big bad bully that they saw win. And women were going to look at it and think, oh, my God, like, who's going to want to run for office after they saw what happened to Hillary, right? Who's going to look at that and say, oh, gee, that looks like fun. I definitely want to do that. But then what the reaction was, two nights after we lost, I walk outside of our Brooklyn headquarters, and there are all these little girls there, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and boys too, but mostly girls. Their parents had brought them down to our headquarters, and they had covered our sidewalk with chalk, with all these hopeful messages, like, rise up, do the most good, hang in there, we all belong here, keep fighting, and they had signs, and they came to cheer us on. And I thought, oh my, these kids are going to remember that night for the rest of their lives, right?
That's right.
They're going to say, the night that, two nights after Donald Trump was elected president, my parents brought me down to Hillary's headquarters, and like we stood out there, and like that was the beginning of the resistance. Like those kids were the beginning of the resistance. And it was little girls, and they didn't feel crushed. They were like, nope, keep going.
So they bring, those little girls bring to the table then, in addition to that excitement, that motivation, determination as well.
Mm-hmm. Determination, and then they saw it with, you know, I know a lot of women were devastated after we lost. I mean, I heard all these terrible stories of people who couldn't stop crying and you know, having crying fits, driving on the highways, and just, you know, just I just heard all of this, and physically hurt. And then you saw the Women's March, and it was amazing. You know, I went to New Orleans that weekend. My husband and I were like, let's get out of D.C. So we went to New Orleans, and I knew there was a march there. I didn't participate because I just wanted to hang back and see how's America going to respond. And, you know, then you see millions of people, women and men both, turning out to say, like, speak up to say women deserve better. And that is what I think that, and I think that what it confirms is, as far in people's minds, in women's minds, is as far as we've come, that this progress that we've made, we still have work to do to not have our lives feel like we're able to succeed in a man's world, but make it our own world. And I think what Hillary run and then lost revealed to me was, you know, we ran her campaign to prove that she could do the job just the same way it has always been done before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means the same way men have done it. And I had a realization at one point very late in the campaign that what that did was turn her into, what that really ended up doing was turn her into a female facsimile of the qualities that we look for in a male president. And that robbed her of a lot of her own qualities, right? And her own humanity. It was like she ran for president with half of her humanity tied behind her back. And that, you know, that's for the baby boomer generation. That's what the women that broke all the glass ceilings in, you know, politics and in the professional world had to do, right? They had to prove, I can do the job just the same way as men. Nothing will be different. And you want things to be different, right? You want people to bring all of it, right? Like, that's not good. I don't think anybody looks at the world today and says, wow, we have all the answers. We've got everything figured out. And nobody thinks that. And I think if women bring more of themselves to however they engage in their families or their communities or politics or businesses, and men do too, that's going to be better. We need to hear from more perspectives. I think the further I get away from the election, the more I appreciate how, dominant a male perspective, but particularly a white male perspective, is in the history of the world. And it's only been 100 years since women have had the right to vote. It's only been 100 years since women have engaged in the workplace. And I feel like we plateaued at, yes, we can engage in the man's world. And now we get to imagine, well, what does that look like to maybe do it a little differently?
So that's
scary.
Yeah. What do you see as being primary or major similarities, major differences between a world run by women compared to a world run by men?
So we got to see what it looks like, right? It's hard because what I really appreciated after living through Hillary's campaign is how important models are for us to think of how we think about a person.
Yes.
I didn't really appreciate that before. You hear this a lot. You can't, right? You can't be what you can't see. And so the generation of women that are engaging in politics, you know, we have a historic number of women that are running for office now, they're showing us what that looks like. But what I imagine is, some things I imagine it could mean is a world that maybe is more in workplace, that's more cooperative as opposed to competitive. One thing I thought that would be a good quality of Hillary's that would in the Oval Office is right now the world is very interconnected. It's very global. An us versus them mentality is self-defeating. Everything's a negotiation. And somebody who's good at that, somebody who's looking for consensus and cooperation is a good kind of leader. And I think men are capable of that too, but that's not generally how we've thought of politics or the workplace. I think that, I talk a lot about crying in the book. I have a chapter of advice for women that's called Nod Less and Cry More. I think, there's a big taboo against crying in the workplace or in politics. And I think for women in particular, and I think what's at the root of that is a notion that being a woman is something you have to overcome to succeed in these male-dominated arenas, right? Like, that's what's at the root of that. I had a friend who said that she cried in a professional setting, and she said, I felt like I'd been exposed, right? That's such a telling thing to say, like, yes. I don't actually belong here. Can she handle it? Does she really belong here? And I'm somebody who cries a lot. I'm easily moved to tears when I'm talking about something that's important to me. Well, if it's that important to me that it inspires me to, actually moves me to tears, it's probably really important, and it's a good thing to share. And, it's like you start looking at things that way, like what's important to me, when am I at my best, where do I feel the most comfortable, how do I feel when I'm doing the best work, and you see, some of that stuff doesn't really fit into the workplace as it is. I think that the workplace should change so that everyone is able to bring their best selves and really engage in a meaningful way. And I think that could involve, for a lot of women, that involves a little bit of tears. And it's fine. And it is for men, too. President Obama cried. America, the country saw him cry a bit, particularly around the Newtown shooting. And I think that what that showed was, it showed the depth of love he had for the country, the frustration that he felt that he couldn't do more to combat it. And I think we want to, like, I want to know that. I want to know that about our leaders, if that's how they feel.
Your book is entitled Dear Madam President, An Open Letter to the Women Who Will Run the World. Do you foresee, Jennifer, a move where, whether it's 8 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I'm assuming we'll still be here 20 years from now, 50 years from now, where we will have more women stepping up and saying, I can do this, and more people, including men, saying, I support that?
I do. I didn't expect to be in this position. I had felt that throughout my career that I had always done, you know, I'd have been like enormously privileged on these amazing opportunities and been supported by men and women both. The way I think about it now is, well, I was doing really great in a man's world, and that's, you know, we've run out of road on that model. And I actually believe that's part of, you know, we've run out of road on that model, not just when it comes to politics, but look at how divided the country is.
Yes, ma'am. Right?
I mean, I think that we have to find more ways to empathize with each other and understand each other. And that it doesn't mean men aren't capable of that. But I think women are, you know, particularly well inclined to draw bridges kinds of divides. And I think it could happen. You know, women are, it's just happening. I look at progress being made every day. And I think women are going to win a lot of elections in 2018, and women could easily win in 20. I can't believe that.
We are understanding that women are really on the move, too, for 2018.
Yeah.
Just around the corner.
Sure.
Jennifer, your book again, Dear Madam President, where can people get it?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at, online. You get it at Barnes & Noble in person or online, too, or, you know, your local independent bookstore.
That's
a great place to go.
Dear Madam President, An Open Letter to the Women Who Will Run the World. I like the way you see this world shaping up. If we could get some of these ideals, and I appreciate you for sharing your insights with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So what do we look for from Jennifer Palmieri going forward?
You know, I love doing this. I love engaging in politics, and I love writing about it. So a little bit of both.
Outstanding. Appreciate you again. Best wishes.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, ma'am. Y'all stay with me. I'll be right back.